Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, March 31st, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Quick diary today from Didier about a library of YARA rules to find shellcode. That's really useful, for example, to look in documents for potential exploits. And ever wanted to have the ability to write SQL queries against PCAP files to find specific packets? Rob has the tool for you. He wrote about PCAP to XML. This tool can convert PCAP files either into XML or into SQLite files. And of course, with SQLite files, you can then essentially run small SQL queries against the particular packet capture. Looks like a pretty neat tool, in particular if you're trying to summarize data and the like. T-Shark has a similar functionality to turn packets into XML, but not into SQLite as far as I know. Also, I don't think the XML that's produced by T-Shark can be searched, for example, with XPath or tools like that. And well, even heads of state are not safe from having their data stolen. During the last November G20 meeting, a member of the organizing committee apparently sent personal details to the wrong email address. The data included passport numbers and other sensitive information. What apparently happened was that Outlook's autocomplete feature got in the way of typing in the correct email address. Not sure if you ever experienced that, but if you have a similar email address that you already received email from or sent email to in the past, Outlook and other email software sometimes tends to autocomplete the prior email address. And the PC Council released updated guidance for pen testers today. While this only affects pen tests conducted to ensure PCI compliance, the guidance is not bad and certainly can be applied to other pen tests as well. I, for example, just like the definitions they propose here for what's a pen test versus a vulnerability scan. Sometimes I see that a little bit mixed up, and the PCI document is pretty clear in that respect. Also, they added a couple of case studies that make it easier, make it a little bit more specific to understand the guidance they provide. And two DEA agents involved in the Silk Road takedown apparently did funnel some of the funds confiscated from Silk Road into private accounts controlled by these agents. The two agents got, of course, deeply involved in the inner workings of Bitcoin. One of them also worked with a particular Bitcoin exchange and did provide free background checks for this Bitcoin exchange using DEA resources. eBay fixed a security vulnerability that allowed users to upload arbitrary files to eBay. The files didn't pose a danger to eBay itself, but an attacker could, for example, upload malware and then send a link to the file to an unsuspecting user who may then be tempted to actually download and potentially execute the file based on it coming from a legitimate eBay URL. Now, eBay fixed the problem by adding additional validation to the file uploads. You already were only able to upload files with very specific extensions. However, you could download any file as long as it had the right extension. So what they do now is that in addition to matching up the extension, they're also making sure that the file header matches whatever the extension claims to be. Uploading files to a web application is always a little bit a difficult problem. The minimum you should do is you should make sure the file is uploaded outside the document root. So, for example, it cannot be downloaded directly using a browser and no code will be executed on the server. With that, you should also always rename the file into something different than what the user named it. That way you sort of avoid some of these direct reference issues. Probably the hardest part about file uploads, if you, for example, need to allow PDF uploads, is to make sure that the upload is malware free. In some ways, for example, in PDFs, you may add additional restrictions that, for example, they may not contain any JavaScript or Flash. What also helps sometimes if you convert the type, for example, if you convert the PDF into a PostScript file and then back to a PDF, that typically also gets rid of malicious content. But on the bad side, it may also get rid of some formatting, and of course, it may then exploit any vulnerabilities that these conversion scripts have. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.